When the fate of the world is at hand, you don't need an army. You just need a dude from Boston to fix things wicked fucking quick. We saw the Great Wall, so you know what that means. Medford, just a trafficy jaunt away from Boston to talk about a local Massachusetts legend. That's right, Matt Damon. Matt Damon in a movie about the Great Wall of China and some fucking weird ass aliens, question mark, that are attacking the wall in an attempt to take over the world because of greed? That's all you need to know. It's a period piece. I'll tell you one other fact that might answer a lot of your questions. It's the most expensive movie China has ever produced. $135 million budget. And we'll get into how that all worked out in a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, to talk about this movie, I need the expertise of my two amazing co-hosts. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Boston? How we feeling? Late show, balcony, what's up? Ooh, late show is rowdy.
Jason, the Paul? Great Wall of China is the location. The movie is just simply The Great Wall. Thoughts?
I watched this movie today on the train from New York to Boston.
The way it's meant to be watched.
Yep. And when I saw that it was as long as it was, I almost started crying. For those of you who were at the earlier show, you might have heard this. We're in the middle of a tour, and I have lost my mind. I don't understand time, place, anything. What I definitely didn't want was to watch 2 hours of this nonsense. This was... I'm going to just straight up say, we cannot do subtitled movies on this podcast anymore. I have to be able to look away. You can't look away when you're reading it. And I was like, fuck. God damn it.
Jason, would it surprise you if I told you this movie is not 2 hours?
How long is it?
An hour 40?
No.
Yep. And
it
I would say
so
easily
long.
Easily 9 minutes of that are credits. So it's an hour 30 film.
It's okay.
T to B.
It's no good. It felt very long. I blame Matt Damon. How do you like them apples? Question mark? It was a movie. I will say this. There were, you mentioned the how much it cost earlier. It is huge in scale and scope.
Yes.
And there is a lot of very impressive practical effects and set pieces that are, like, kind of cool, that are I enjoyed. But the movie, for me, space dogs eating up the Great Wall of China in the past... It is an opportunity. This is what this movie is about. beards and accents. Boom.
And they both change
everybody
a lot.
Everybody gets both in different versions.
I would also say that this movie rings to the sense of, like, a parent coaching a kid on how to be precocious. It's like, yeah, you're hitting all the right things, but it doesn't feel authentic in any way. It feels planned. I know it's a very hard, like, metaphor to put together, but that's what it feels like to me. It feels like a parent off to the side of the stage during, like, a high school production of Oliver going, more, more, may I have more, please? Like, you know, it's like the kid's not bringing his own instincts to it. It's the late show.
I would love.
And that's as clear as I'm going to get for the rest of the night.
This is going to be a weird one. I can feel it already. I can feel it already. If you told me right now it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, I'd be like, sure, why not? Don't know. Don't know. Won't know.
I will say.
If you told me we were no longer in Boston, but we're in fact on the Great Wall of China, I would believe you. It's over, baby. I'm donezo.
We are part of the annual China Podcast Festival. Mark Maron just played before us. We are now here.
Every mile on the wall is a different podcast.
And oddly, every podcast in existence fits. So it's a real fun thing. Ladies and gentlemen, there was one person I truly felt bad subjecting this film to, and she is my other co-host. Please welcome the lovely, talented June Diane Raphael. Welcome. Welcome, June.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Period.
I'm going to take a wild
stab. We're just doing vocalized punctuation now.
I'm going to take a wild stab here and say that you kind of like this movie.
There were a lot of things I enjoyed about this movie. Number one, Matt Damon. Also number one, Pedro Pascal.
Great. He was great.
He was great.
Great.
He is great. I love him in Narcos. I think he's amazing.
Did not recognize him as Pedro Pascal until the beard came off. I literally
he's
was like...
He's that good.
I was like, whoa, Pedro Pascal. He really...
Really?
Yeah, I did not know it was him.
I was so excited because I was like, all right, cool. The Red Viper's in here. I like that. I'll take that. Another movie that has a lot of Game of Thrones, like, imagery, a lot of Game of Thrones story elements, a lot of Game of Thrones actor. I don't know. That's it. I told you it was going to be a weird one.
Oh, this is going to be really weird. I can feel it as well.
Willem Dafoe's in this movie. You know it's weird when he's creeping around like...
When we first meet Willem Dafoe.
He's like.
When we first meet Willem Dafoe, it's as if he was on set and the director's like, just get a shot of him real quick. We'll put him in the movie.
Like, as if he was just visiting set?
Yeah, because he just was peeking around a corner like a coquettish cat.
That's absolutely right. He also didn't look totally in costume. Like,
no.
Everybody, at that time, everybody had a ton of hair, except for him. Like, he just seemed like he had walked from Crafty out and just peeked in.
If you had told me that he was the star of a time travel movie where contemporary Willem Dafoe is transported to this time...
By the way, Willem Dafoe is a timeless actor because you could really plop him in here. He didn't feel of the now. He never feels of the now or of the past. He just feels of the right.
You can plop him anywhere.
Plop him here, plop him there, plop him anywhere.
We did a movie that he was in recently and was it you that revealed that some director said that he had a confusingly large penis?
An audience.
He showed his penis in
that.
A movie, yeah. In Body of Evidence. He showed his penis in a movie, and they had to use a penis double because his penis was confusingly large.
It was like actually...
it confounded the mind.
Which, it, like, to look at it caused visual dissonance. Yeah.
It was actually for, I believe, The Passion of the Christ, which makes it even weirder. Because
you're
like,
oh, Jesus had that big dick energy. BDE Christ.
Well, the other crazy thing about his character is Oh God.
It's over. Black it out. It's over. Wrap it.
The other confusing thing about his character is that I couldn't tell if he was a prisoner or not. He seemed to walk about.
He was like
very freely.
He was not a prisoner, but I don't think he was. They were not letting him leave.
The only
Isn't
reason
that
why
the definition of prisoner?
No. It's sort of like he wanted to be there. It was more like Stockholm syndrome. I feel like he's only there to free them at that point in the movie where Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal are seemingly for no reason brought up to the command center of the Great Wall. Like, remember those guys that were trying to steal our whatever? Bring them up and let them watch the fight.
Not even, like, they were like, we found these two guys outside the wall.
Right.
Should we let them talk to the most important people we got?
Yeah.
They're foreigners. Let's let them talk to whoever they want to talk to.
And we wasted most of our arrows, oddly circling them with arrows. There was about 100 of us, and we all shot a tremendous amount of arrows.
I wish they had been killed instantly. Credits.
This is how the movie starts. I just want to read you the title. It says, "The Great Wall has stood for centuries as one of mankind's most enduring wonders. It spans over 5,500 miles, and it took more than 1,700 years to build. It's protected from many dangers. Some are known, some are legend. This is one of those legends."
No.
It's weird because are you telling me it's false right at the, like, don't believe this movie?
Wait, do you think this is based on truth?
If you didn't put it there, I don't know that much about Chinese history. I'd be like,
are you one of the people that thinks Game of Thrones takes place in the 1300s?
It does.
Well,
after Pangaea, right?
Even when I saw the word legend, even after I saw Matt Damon and Pedro Pascal hold the arm of that creech, I was still so stunned to see the first one flying out like that. In this movie.
When you see them,
shocking.
You're like, because the
shocking.
Movie is so period that you're like, what?
What the fuck?
That's what, I did not know that this movie had that kind of an element in it.
Oh,
I was like,
I did.
Oh,
how did
okay.
You know?
I knew that there were space dogs in it.
Okay. I was like, first of all, I was happy that the dogs from Ghostbusters got some work. They haven't worked for quite some time. But it jaw-dropping
I was
to
shocked.
Me. Right?
When the Tao Ties showed up, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe in my mind when I saw...
Where Please say Tao Ties again. You said it so casually as if...
Isn't that what
like
they were
it was
called?
Such a...
When the Tao Ties showed up, hi. Because I thought we were about to watch a movie of, like, different tribal groups fighting each other and having to fight over land or some such.
And
the Tao Ties were a shockaroo.
Tao Ties were as shocking as the army that was trained in bungee jumping. Okay, we got 60 years to train. What do we got? Okay, so they jump in this hoop. And then a bunch of guys lower, but we whip it up real quick, and then we try to stab them in the head. Arrows, and we do have flaming balls. We do have, like...
We have gunpowder. Straight away, start using the black powder.
Yeah,
straight away. Just boom. Here we go. You know what to do? Landmines. You know they're coming at you. Put landmines of gunpowder out surrounding. They're going to come in, kaboom, blow the whole thing up.
Cirque du Soleil.
First thing
we're going to... Give me that Cirque du Soleil.
And also, let's put all the ladies out first. First line of defense, all the women.
I liked that women were at the forefront of protecting the wall.
They were sacrificial lambs.
No, they were kicking ass.
What I was
Commander
saying.
Lee was a total badass.
She was incredible, but I was troubled by how willing they were to sacrifice all the women.
You think they should have been taken off the battlefield and put, like, in the kitchen?
No, but Jason, do you know how many women died immediately?
I mean, you saw those bloody rings. Another one died.
It really was. Like, you do. You see
God.
A collection of bloody rings.
That was
rings.
It was brutal. That shot was brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
Highly ineffective fighting. Again, it's when you have too much time on your hands. Like, if you said, space dogs are coming, no one would say, let's kind of invent a bizarro version of the bungee. And then give them spears. You'd be like, let's just fucking shoot arrows at them. Here, they had too much time. They're like, well, hear me out. Bungee cords. Go on.
I liked, that's part of the stuff I did like. I liked all the weird, like I liked the bungee jumping thing. I liked when they opened up the walls and scissors came out.
I loved that.
I was like, fuck yes, I want all of this.
Innovation.
I love the flaming marbles they were shooting out like a big pinball machine. By the way, that would be a great pinball machine. The Great Wall pinball machine, flaming balls flying around, weird accents coming out. You got it.
Matt Damon's accent, where is he from?
Well...
Where is William from?
I wanted to do this with you both because I feel like his accent changes about 5 times in this one scene. So why don't we just play it?
America does not... He doesn't have an American accent Europeans haven't colonized the land
yet. If anything,
he's,
I feel like, trying to do some sort of Irish accent.
That's what I wrote down. Is he Irish? But I thought... This is what I thought. He is acting like an actor who's not comfortable in his accent, so he's quiet and clipped. Yes. No accent. Like, it's like everything he says in the beginning, it's like he's trying to hide. I am doing an accent, but you can't tell. Like, it's very weird.
It has a lilt to it that feels to me like that it's meant to be Irish, but almost as if, I guess maybe it's true. He was like, I feel like he would be like, well, he was born in Ireland, but he's a mercenary, so he's been all over the world, so he's lost that accent.
I mean, look, let's go through it.
And instead is from Boston.
These are all the accents throughout the film. We don't have to comment on them, but just sit back, relax, and listen to all the accents, and let's see what we find.
Remember why you're here. You speak English.
We came looking for black powder.
In here? Tell him there's no better weapon here.
Well, that's all well and good, but I'm not jumping. I'm alive today because I trust no one.
Oh, that's...
Hunt them like a whale.
To fight? Is there a chance?
We have one black powder weapon left. Give me the spear.
I've been a fool. I'm done with it.
So, how's life without me?
Believe me, I'm already thinking about trading him back for the powder.
I could take the black powder.
Of course I do. I just don't trust you to make it out of here alone.
Who taught you English?
The one that comes back a lot is this one here. It's a little... It's almost American. It's a little... sometimes it's Matt Damon, sometimes it's John Wayne, sometimes it's Scottish, sometimes it's Irish. Accents are fucking hard, man.
I don't know. I mean... listen... The strange thing about Damon too, William, is that he has a line in the beginning, I think when he's being surrounded, where he says, I can take out the guards and the perimeter with my bow. And that's not possible.
He doesn't have his bow and he's tied up.
He's tied up and also there's 100 people around him.
He's basically like, I can take those 7, you can take those guys, and then what about the 3,000 other people?
He also seemingly understands Mandarin because everyone around him is speaking Mandarin, and then when he's finally free, he's like, okay, get him in the eyes. How does he know? He's never even seen these creatures, and yet he is running tactical plays. Like, the only way he would have known that is if he also spoke Mandarin, and then he's doing these fucking Hawkeye, like, foomp, sliding on his back.
Oh, he's straight up Legolasing this. He cannot miss.
Cannot miss.
He arrives and the what are they called? The guards of the
Nameless Order.
The Nameless Order, thank you.
I got it.
The Nameless Order. The Nameless Order have been here guarding this wall for centuries, I guess. They are incredibly well-trained. They're an incredibly well-trained army. And yet, they're like, how did you kill this? We are blown away.
But now, my question is, were they always under attack, or is this the first time?
Because every 60 years.
Right. But was that the first time in 60 years when they happened to be captured?
Yes.
So that was the... They are relatively... Their shit is together for the first time seeing these space dogs.
It isn't. And that's why I think that's why they do capture these two foreigners. It's not just that they're, you know, interesting to them. It's because they have that space dog leg. And so they know we've got to bring them up to the higher-ups here. Because the space dogs are here much earlier than we thought.
Well, by the way, nine days early.
But that's huge.
But by the way...
You're right. How... Back then, 9 days was like 900 like, years.
Yeah.
But
and I guess my point is, Paul, sorry to interrupt, is that they are so on point, ready for the Tauties, that 9 days early... means something's a fucking miss. It means they are getting smarter, they're evolving, something's off, they're here earlier.
Well, that's what the chief strategist is basically saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is the chief strategist
you
the one
agree
that
with
has...
the chief strategist?
Is the chief
do, but,
strategist
but
the one
that's why you guys, you both didn't understand that that's why they had to bring them up. Something major has happened.
Yes, I see what you
yes. Chief strategist is too busy making his hologram PowerPoint to be too concerned about it.
I don't remember that.
What
you don't
you
remember
saying?
The PowerPoint?
No, what's
no.
up?
Guys.
I'm telling you, I watched this movie in what felt like an active blackout. I felt unwell.
Okay. This is the PowerPoint I was referring to.
Where do they come from?
About 20 centuries ago. There was an emperor whose greed brought deep suffering to all of China. The heavens sent a meteor that struck Gougou Mountain, turning it green and releasing the Tao Te. From that day on, the Tao Te rise every 60 years to scourge the north of China. They come to remind us of what happens when greed is unchecked. They eat anything, alive or dead, and take food to their queen. She depends on her soldiers to feed her. Only with the food they provide is she able to multiply. The capital and its 2 million people is only 800 li away. If the Tao Te ever had that much nourishment, no corner of the world would be safe.
You can't hunt them.
Men try. They disappear. We never find their bones.
Whoa!
The ancient art of PowerPoint. That's right. If you're just listening to that, that was all on a screen that he pulled down that became completely animated.
Yeah. So this movie is like anti-capitalist, right?
Well, here's the thing. Spoiler alert, they defeat them, so they kill them, so greed is good. Wall Street 2, money never sleeps, no big deal. All ties together. But if they defeat, this is a
like,
thing to
why
keep greed
do
in
the,
check.
Why do the space dogs symbolize cleansing the country of greed?
Because Because if you... if... and because the... and the building...
Like that PowerPoint, he's basically like, you know, there was a guy, and he was so greedy that space dogs came. And they were like, bro, we got to keep this guy in check. Well, how do we do it? Munch, munch, munch. We're space dogs. We love food.
I mean, right. I think that what's probably happened here is the Tau Ti are always going to come out after 60 years. Like, that's their nature. And I think these people have started to tell themselves a story.
Right.
Because of their own anxieties about capitalism and the strain it puts on
the basic
goodness of humanity.
The Tau Ti, like, because the difference of that story is that, like, in the version that they're telling, it would be like, and they come to town, they look around. Have you built any big buildings? No. Okay. Everyone's, like, sharing wealth? Okay, we'll go back to our cave. No, they just fucking eat everything. Like, they're not, like, the Tau Ti are not registering if people are greedy. They're just...
they are senseless, or not senseless, they are gaining in intelligence, I guess, killing machines. They are, you know, they are just...
you guys, they're just animals.
They're aliens.
They're just...
oh, boy. What do you mean they're not aliens?
I mean they're not aliens in that I don't think they have thoughts or intuitions, and they are just animals, and they're coming out to hunt.
No, they make a plan. They make plans, and they do trap. They set traps for them, and you know they're not. They're like super intelligent.
Right.
Of course,
they're smart animals.
Yeah.
But they're animals.
In that they are aliens.
They are an alien race hell-bent on destroying, like the way that you would think the Predator is also an animal that is just...
I don't know about that. He's a biped.
Oh. Well, right. Okay. Well, this is interesting. It's opening up.
Listen.
So the xenomorph...
I'm saying the xenomorph from Alien
is also a biped.
Really?
I mean, when they get to be the... yeah, right?
Okay.
I mean, they
crawl. Well, these are all aliens regardless. I just don't know if they're animals.
Look, I agree with you, June, that they are... I think that... why are they even here? I think that they're... I mean, their planet or their... I mean, it was a spaceship that crashed?
No, it was an asteroid.
I know, but what were they doing on an asteroid?
Stone cold chilling, bro.
I mean, you don't ride an asteroid. But I would also say this. The Tau Ti...
There are at least three different types of a Tau Ti, and that's interesting. So there are like the foot soldier, like the first wave attack dogs.
Yes.
Then there are the ones that I love that have the fan out heads or whatever.
Yeah, I love those.
That like protect.
Tape heads.
And then the queen is in the middle. I liked that there was a... I liked that it wasn't just a horde of the same thing. I liked that there was steps involved in what they were.
See, I didn't realize they were all different. I thought that the ones who were protecting the queen and making that little beehive around her... were just using their bodies in that way. I didn't realize they were different Tau Ti.
No, they were different creatures.
They were bigger and had like some other element.
They had a weird head thing. The other ones didn't have like that head thing.
I'll say something about the Tau Ti.
Yeah.
What was interesting about them was the Tau Ti, and this is where I really related to them. They have to...
You related to the Tau Ti?
I did. They have to, like, go back home.
What?
And they have to, like, keep on going, but they come out, they fight. And then they go back, and they sort of collect themselves. And they
take a beat.
What's that?
Queen is full.
The queen is full, right. But they seem to need a lot of respite in this film, and we never know when they're going to come back.
Right.
And I appreciated that about them, that they valued rest and relaxation.
They are basically the White Walkers and the Whites, right?
I don't watch
so
any
like
of
Game
that.
Of Thrones logic, the smaller Tautai are the Whites, just the attack zombies. And then you have like a little bit of like a hierarchical structure of larger and more intelligent Tautais that are like the White Walkers or the Night King, right? Well,
now, all right, that's true. I just have one more question.
And the same thing, if you kill the queen, boom, everybody's donezo.
Right. But my question is this. Is, are they just attacking that small section of the wall, or are the Tautai up and down
the
wall?
Well, what we find out later is that they've been attacking that section of the wall as a diversion while they dig that tunnel.
Why couldn't they just dig that tunnel in the middle of the night? It seems like three or four Tautais could dig that tunnel.
Three or four?
Wow. Do you know how much work? Wow, you really would pile that much work on three or four Tautais? Let me guess, no breaks?
They do simple 14-hour shifts. They do a French lunch, which means they eat while they work.
No, if you do, I mean, listen, the Tautais, they work hard, but then they play hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're fun, because you know what they're doing? You know, they take their dead, they drag them off, they toss them in the queen's mouth, and then they fucking rage,
they do.
Bro.
Should one of the shirts for tonight's show be like a Club Med for Tautais?
Or like a Tautai, like a party shirt from like a Tautai, like frat house?
That reminds me
It's a Tautai doing a keg stand.
When I went to... Sorry for this digression, but when I went to Cozumel with my family on a cruise, my mom bought us all t-shirts at like a little stand on the side of the road, and we all wore them, me and my sisters, and then realized they were all those lizards in like pornographic sexual positions.
Wow.
Oh my God. So it was like all the positions.
I remember being in seventh grade and like looking at my sister and being like, wait, what is that? And then looking at my own shirt.
How about we make that shirt?
Like all fucking each other and.
We need to make that with Tautai.
Yes, that's the shirt.
People, I've told you about Squarespace, and let me tell you a little bit more about it. Squarespace is hands down the best place to go when you want to start a website or, you know, just your passion project. You guys have a passion project? What's your passion project? Well, I want to know. Everyone, just close your eyes, even if you're driving right now. Close them. Yep, keep them closed. Okay, yep, don't worry about driving. I got it. And just yell out your passion project. Wow. Was not expecting that. Very good. Well, what if you took that passion and actually put it into a real design and got it out in the world? I don't care what your passion is. Maybe your passion is that Shaw was wrongly accused of killing Han and you want to make a website about that. Look, you know, or maybe you have a way to sell watermelon with liquor inside of it. Maybe that's your passion project. I don't know, but whether you're looking to start a new business, showcase your work, publish content, sell products, or more, Squarespace is the tool for you. With beautiful templates created by world-class designers and the ability to customize just about anything with a few clicks, you, insert name, can easily make a beautiful website yourself. And they have e-commerce functionality. You know that shit. They can tell you, hey, you can sell anything online. And plus, analytics tell you how to grow your site in real time. People, look, I am on the information superhighway. I want you to join me, and I want you to join me in doing it in a way that looks classy and good. Websites are the key to how people find us. They're going to type your name in, and why don't you get in front of it, okay? Why don't you get in front of it for once in your life, okay? Don't just have like one of those stupid LinkedIn pages where you can't find shit on shit. Get in there with your own page. Control your narrative of your life here, people. Squarespace empowers millions of people, from designers to lawyers to artists to gamers, even restaurants and gym, which I do both. I have a restaurant gym. We've been having trouble with a lot of the food people. They're just saying that we're cross-contamination because the machines are so close to the pasta. It was a great idea that I'm having trouble with. But anyway, my website looks perfect. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. I'll let you type that in. Offer code bonkers. And if you have not opened your eyes yet, please open your eyes, especially if you're driving. Everybody, time to take a break in the show to hear a word from our sponsor. Just a reminder, we are doing live shows in May. Head on over to hdtgm.com to make sure that you get your tickets for our big show at the Ebell Theater, and make sure that you get your, this is insane, we have an insane shirt for this show. You can go to tpublic.com/store/hdtgm. I don't want to spoil it now, but you can go there right now and buy yourself a shirt from this show. I think you'll like it. It's one of my favorite ones. Anyway, one of our sponsors today is the Black Tux. And the Black Tux believes that every groom deserves a better experience when it comes to finding formal wear, a suit or tuxedo for their big day. And it was started by two guys who had one of the worst tuxedo fittings that you can imagine. Okay, let me tell you something about Black Tux. It's easy. You order it, it comes to you, you try it on, you feel good about it, you send it back, it comes back to you right before your event. It looks great. If you don't want to do that, you can go to one of their showrooms all over the country. They're going to ship your order to you, like I said, so you feel good about what you have. You don't have to just decide on it and be like, oh, I ran out of choices. They want you to feel good whether you're looking to buy your outfit or rent. You will not find a formal wear experience with designs like the ones that you will find at blacktux.com. Let me tell you, my cousin, Chad, getting married, talked to us about what we needed to wear because I am, you know, I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be up there. I'm going to be up there on that stage. And guess what? Sent me a link to blacktux.com. And I was like, yes, finally, I can share with you my experience of blacktux.com. And I tell you, it's damn easy. He told me what we were looking for. He picked out the kind of style we need to do. And all I had to do was fill in my sizes. It's going to come to my house. I'm going to try it on. I'm going to feel good. Now, I have tuxes at home, but I'm going to go this way with him because he's setting the tone. I'm following. I'm a groomsman. I'm a part of that wedding party, whatever you call that. I'm a part of it. And I'm going to tell you, people, I want to be remembered for the right reasons, okay? Because yes, my dancing is stellar. Yes, I'm going to get up there and, you know, and talk to your grandma. I'm going to do all that sort of stuff, but I want to look good while I'm doing it. That's why I'm going to go to blacktux.com and enjoy 10% off with the code MADE. That's M-A-D-E. That's blacktux.com. Code MADE, M-A-D-E, for 10% off your purchase. The Black Tux, formal wear for the moment. Cher's going to be in it at my cousin's wedding. Let's do this.
Here's what I realized. Fight scenes are amazing. When you see a fight in John Wick, you're like, whoa, this is...
John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum?
TikTok, Mr. Shear.
TikTok, Mr. Shear. Wow, we did that joke at the same time. Black it out. Show's over.
And there's something so visceral about it. It's so exciting. And when you watch people doing like moves around CGI creatures, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Like, it's like they're not hitting anything. There's no fight. They're just on a green screen in a studio somewhere. And that's what this movie made me like laugh. It's like they're just fighting nothing. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. It's like dancing around in your bedroom. Like, take a picture of
us
right now.
Is that how you dance around in your bedroom?
I do. Here, somebody take a picture of this and just CGI in Tata. It's like, I look... I would look amazing. Like, you put the fucking Tata in the tip of my spear and I'm done.
But that was the thing that was a little better than that, Paul.
That was the thing that was tough about it is they, even when they knew that the eyes were the weak spot, they still mostly did not attack the eyes.
Well, the eyes were like on the shoulders.
Yes. Why were the eyes on the shoulders? You know, they say the eyes are the shoulders of the soul.
Do you think the magnets pulled the eyes away from the socket?
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Isn't it wild that magnets just scrambled their brains enough and made them deaf?
And it was a small magnet. It was not a giant magnet.
Mustn't they be able to find more magnets?
By
guess
the way,
what? Like put instead of putting like dynamite on all the arrows, put magnets on all the arrows. Shoot them out there. Everybody goes to sleep. Come by. Shoulder eye stab. Shoulder eye stab. Shoulder eye stab. Shoulder eye stab. We can have this thing, boom, wrapped up.
Again, that's the first level idea. You sit with us for 60 years, all of a sudden we're going to come up with this fucking bungee cord thing.
How about this? If you're gonna bungee jump your best female warriors, Government magnets.
By the way, just drop a magnet down.
And whoa. This is the weird thing about how they want to test these magnets. Like, why not just put them on those ladies? Because worse comes to worse, it doesn't work. But maybe it will.
Wait, a second ago you were saying all the death of these women.
No, I still think I have a problem with the fact that the women are on the very... They're basically sent to die. They are in such a vulnerable position on those bungee cords. But I...
But how do you, why do you live after you can play the drums that good?
That's true.
I loved all of the drumming.
The drumming was amazing.
I loved all of the drumming.
And I love their outfits. Very 2001. Like, they were very, like, sleek, not dusty outfits. I thought they were very futuristic in a way.
You were worried they would be wearing dusty outfits? That was a concern of yours in the movie?
I just feel like
you're like, if I watch another dusty outfit movie... I would like it if everybody was, like, clean and pressed and everything looked real good.
It just feels like we're in the middle of the desert. It's
hot. No, I know what you mean. Like, the colors were vibrant, and I appreciated that, too.
Maybe it's just the Chinese army knows how to, like, dress to impress.
Yeah, they look put together. Did anyone have any thoughts on the big transformation of Matt Damon's hair in the movie?
Oh, you mean when there was, like, when the door opened and it was, like, hunk alert? And they came walking in, and Matt Damon had a rat tail?
I will say I preferred the bearded hair, Matt Damon.
What?
Yeah, I just thought there was something about him. Like, why when you have a chance to take a bath, would you be like, well, I'll lose my style? Like, you know, it wasn't like he was dirty. He just smelled a little. Put some shampoo in there. Put some style to it. Get some mousse.
I also liked... I don't think that was a real beard. I would have liked it if he'd had a real beard, you know, and kept it, you know, not because... Because here's the thing. To clean up doesn't mean you have to get rid of your beard.
Yeah. I take showers a lot. I took two showers today. I didn't get rid of my beard.
Cool flex, bro.
Yeah, no big deal. By the way, that shower scene is my favorite dialogue in the whole movie. They cover so many bases here. Like, this is a...
What are you doing here?
We came looking for black powder.
I bet you did. I came with mercenaries for the same thing 25 years ago.
And did you find it?
Finding it and living with it alive are two different things. You smell like animals.
Thank you.
Exposition drop by. Like, that's such a... And then this...
Clean up, and they'll feed you.
Take your time, Willem. Dude, let's go again. Take your time. Take it, like, stretch it out.
Then why is he still here? He needs help getting out. Right. We play our part. Take the powder, and go home.
I didn't sign up for this.
Which part?
Well, all of it. But mostly the monsters.
There's a lot of them. We really do smell.
That was my favorite line.
There's a lot of them. We really do smell.
It's almost like I think the director's supposed to call cut when Willem Dafoe left the room. We'll just keep on going in character. You want to go? You're in character. We'll go in character. We'll have fun with it. Just reiterating, there's a lot of them. Yeah, man. That's more things than these two people have ever seen.
When Willem Dafoe walks in, here's all they should say. What the fuck was that? What the fuck just happened? I need you to tell us everything about what the fuck is going on.
Because immediately Matt Damon gets the cuffs off and fucking pulls out. Like, he's in the fight. And again, you're trying to find this arc of this character. What's the arc? We are told he's a bad guy. We don't ever see him being a bad guy. The first moment that we really see him capture, he's like, free me so I can help fight. And he never retreats from that position.
I think what his journey is just that he's been out for himself his whole life. And for his own survival.
That.
Well, we do see him early on.
I think he's meant to be Han Solo in that sense.
I agree, but we never see him want to escape. We never see... He's always like, well, let's help him out. Let's figure it out. And he's like, well, you have to, you know, shoot arrows into the wall and put a bowl there for dinner. Like, all right, let's do it. Let's do it. Come on.
I think what he's really drawn to ultimately is the family structure of this Great Wall community, and that they're all together, and it's a real
he just is
experience.
Lonely. He's lonely.
Absolutely.
Like
I think
at the beginning of the movie,
to.
We see all of his friends get killed except for
Pedro Pascal.
And so at that point, he's just like, he's a lonely guy, and he sees an organization that he's like, I wouldn't mind getting into this.
It's like Scientology.
But it's yet, like, I'm here looking for Shelley Miscavige. Is she here at the wall?
No, she was sent on that bungee cord first. She was the first one off the wall.
She was eaten by a space dog. Here's the thing, though. When given the opportunity to stay with his new family, June, he does not. And he goes off with this guy who really fucked him over in a tremendous way.
Yeah, but now he's got a different attitude.
Yeah.
But
he's
Pedro Pascal doesn't.
Dude.
But Pedro Pascal doesn't. He'll screw him over again.
Yeah, but there, he's an incorrigible scamp.
All right, I'm in. I was hoping it would be to a sequel. Maybe we will get that sequel.
Yes. The Greater Wall.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's talk about the end battle scene when they find out that they are building a tunnel to get to the big pagoda city with the little boy emperor. And what goes on here at the end is crazy to me, because the end of this movie is essentially trying to shoot like a basketball into a hoop, right? I mean, that's all their, like, their final move is, yes, they're trained archers, they're amazing, but they kind of just zip line down and like, like, it's like trash can garbage.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Matt Damon's skills weren't really used for that last shot.
Well, here's what I think. I think Commander Lee, right?
Yes.
Or at this stage, General Lee, in order for, right?
She did get upgraded, yes.
She, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You've heard of her in history, General Lee.
From the Dukes of Hazzard.
General Lee.
I think at this stage, General Lee, like, she has to, listen, these Duke boys are in a whole heap of trouble.
By the way, they are the Duke boys.
I think, because this is a Chinese movie, she has to win. Like, it cannot be the, you know, outsider
right.
who saves
of
the
course.
Day. That's why I think his skills are
But again, shouldn't
yeah.
it have been more than just like, like, I mean, it really is a. It's like a one.
It's a real Hail Mary.
Yeah. It's like Damian Lillard all over again.
But
it's like
guys,
this last shot.
It works. It works, and they save the day.
Against all odds. It
against
just
all
works.
Odds. Yeah. And now we will sing Against All Odds.
Here's a question I have. When Willem Dafoe leaves, Doesn't he tell Pedro Pascal that he's stored supplies and food along the route? Okay, so why hasn't he left before?
I think he needs their help, because I think it's too dangerous, I suspect, for him to be alone out there, which he then finds
he
out immediately.
To be
right.
alone
and
out
then
there.
Everyone starts tossing around baby grenades. It's a great scene.
That was, like, very funny.
Like, what the fuck is... so stupid.
They called it a grenade. They said, hand me a grenade.
Oh,
not
really?
In that scene, in the later scene. When they're in the... I will say this. I loved the hot air balloons.
Loved them.
I loved that. I loved
so
that they
fun.
First established the idea of the lanterns when the
right.
first general dies. So they show
that
them
beautiful.
Releasing the lanterns into the sky. Really great. And then you see macro versions of those lanterns are hot air balloons. And so many of them are failing.
I mean,
what is the name of the group again? The Nameless?
The Nameless Order.
The Nameless Order loses almost everybody.
They're extremely flammable, Jason.
This
is like lighting a match under a sheet of paper.
They are careening out of the sky on fire.
But that's where the movie, there's things about this movie I really loved, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
That detail of like, some of them are going to take off, and
yeah.
some of them ain't.
Yeah. Oh, no, I thought it was great.
So
I loved
specific.
It, too, when the person, they were like, well, we can use the balloons. The chief strategist says we can use the balloons. And somebody's like, well, we can? They've failed in every test. Literally, they've failed in every test. Well, we got to do it. The Tau ties are loose, baby.
I mean, that is the thing this movie does get right. The costumes, the pageantry, the set design, it is fun to watch.
And that's where that money is, because a lot of this is practical. These are, when you're looking at those shots and it's what looks like to me thousands of people, I believe there are thousands.
Me too.
This is,
absolutely.
I think they did a lot of this practically.
And then they could not afford a dialect coach.
No.
There
or
was just,
ADR. Yeah.
There was just no money left over for it.
I love that the filmmakers went to China and said, hey, can we actually shoot this on the Great Wall? And China was like, no. Absolutely not. This is blasphemous. You're talking about space dogs?
And I loved that the space dogs' whole thing was like, just doing the World War Z horde until they get there, and then they just build on top of each other to get over.
That's very much like, what was that zombie movie? Like, I feel
World War Z.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guys,
we are unwell.
We are not good. We are bad.
And honestly, I want to apologize, but also it's because of all of you.
You made us do this.
Okay, we don't want to
do this.
This
is your fault.
Whoa, but look at this.
I blame you, Boston.
The guy who wrote this story is Max Brooks, the writer of World War Z.
No.
Yeah. So
what?
I guess he has a thing for a bunch of people climbing on top of people.
I thought this was based on a legend.
I mean, I heard that
of the Tau ties.
I heard that a Tau tie told a story and someone bought it and turned it into a book.
Really?
A ghostwriter and a Tau tie wrote the book. My father used
the fight. Hey, I heard you bought that Tau Tai story.
Oh, these Tau Tais. Oh, these tough.
But I'll tell you what. The Tau Tai move at a clip. They really... I found that scary. The pace at which they moved. Listen, I was scared of the Tau Tais. I thought they were very effectively drawn and...
Even with
produced.
Their shoulder eyes?
Yes.
They didn't look like just like kind of a grab bag of every CGI creature you've ever seen.
They look like the mutant dogs from Fallout 4.
It just feels like the first 90 creatures we ever created in CGI were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then now it's like,
put the
eyes on the shoulder, make the kneecaps bigger. Give them short arms and heads that look like bulls. Got it. That's our new alley.
And I love when they do. It's the same again. And I'm so sorry, Boston, to keep harping on Game of Thrones, but it's the same thing. They're like, we got to capture one of these to send it to the Emperor so they can see what's up. And that's the same thing that happened. The same dumb idea that happens in Game of Thrones. And they fucking get the Tau Tai and they send it to the Emperor, and the Emperor treats it like, oh, cool, I got a Tau Tai. I'm going to, make it my friend. And then chaos. And then he's like, hey, man, Tau Tais are here in the city. They're eating, everybody, bro. What are we doing?
Well, I couldn't even focus on that scene because I was like, what a waste of meat. Wasted all that meat on that Tau Tai.
Well, they needed to get the boy. I'm not even going to explain it.
I was like, they could have just had a real good barbecue.
People like Black Tux because Black Tux believes that every groom deserves to be better looking than they are in real life, okay? Here's the deal, people. You need to look good on your big day, but you don't want to spend all that money on a fancy suit or a tuxedo. Black Tux comes in. They let you order and essentially rent one of the best looking tuxes you'll ever have. You pick a style at blacktux.com. You request a free home try-on so you can feel the fit and quality before you commit. If online's not your style, they have showrooms all over the country. And from there, they'll ship your order 2 weeks before your wedding, so you can check it out one last time. Whether you're buying your outfit or looking to rent, you won't find a formal wear experience or designs like the ones that you will find on Black Tux. Let me tell you about Black Tux, okay? It puts everybody to shame because you don't have the money to go out there and buy a bunch of suits. I mean, what are you? You Daniel Craig? No, you're not Daniel Craig. You need to save that money for groceries and things like that. So Black Tux comes in. They make you look good. Whether you're a guest at a wedding and just want to look good, or whether you even want to go to a funeral and just show up everybody and go, wow, that funeral is depressing. But you know what? So-and-so looked really good in their tux. People, you will find your favorite styles available at Black Tux. If you want your wedding to be remembered for the right reasons, order your suit or tuxedo at theblacktux.com and enjoy 10% off with the code MADE. That's M-A-D-E. That's blacktux.com, code MADE for 10% off all your purchases. Black Tux, formal wear for the moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have talked a lot about these Tao ties, and now it's a chance for us to talk to you with your questions lights? About this movie. Ma'am, your name, and I want you to say it in your best Matt Damon accent. So that means any which way you want to do it, and your question.
My name is Amy.
Great.
Why did they make that one guy that, like, maybe saved Matt Damon from being betrayed by his friends or whatever wash dishes in his armor?
Well, didn't he have a moment of cowardice? And so he was, like, sent back to the kitchen. But yeah, you're right. I guess, you know, they were like, well, and you know what? You might have to fight at any moment, so keep your armor on. Here's an apron.
I couldn't understand when that guy originally in that first moment couldn't find the keys to their prison cell. Is it possible that the key just wasn't there?
What do you mean?
I mean, was it really his fault?
I think so.
I just didn't know what we were supposed to read from that. Was he trying to help them? Was he...
Oh, no, I think he was...
just fumbling over a bunch of keys?
I think they were trying to show us that he maybe is incompetent. So that he could have, like, a heroic moment later. I don't know.
I just thought maybe the key wasn't actually there.
I'll be honest, I don't remember any of the parts of this movie. I have full-blown mementoed myself.
What you are describing, I have no memory of. Sir, your name in the best Matt Damon...
Did this scene happen? Now I'm worried I made it up.
And your question.
It did.
My name is Michael. So, do the space dogs need to attack this city specifically? Because if they're so smart and their ultimate objective is to take over the world and the wall's the only thing keeping them out, can't they just go the other way around the world?
Again, I don't know much about geography, but it sounds sound.
The mountain they live in is green. Like, that's crazy. To look out on the horizon and see a glowing green mountain? You know Tao Ties live there. You know where they are. They're in the Green Mountain. Guess what? Go get gunpowder, blow up the Green Mountain. Boom.
Or just bring a bunch of fridge magnets to it.
Yes. Put fridge magnets on the whole outside. They won't leave the mountain at all.
Sir?
My name is Patrick. We still haven't talked about the moment where Pedro Pascal becomes a matador.
Yes. Yes. And Pedro Pascal and Matt Damon are calling out fight plays to each other like they're on a football field, like deciding what to do. The familiarity with which they say what to do next in life and death situations, and it's so casual.
Oh, when he says, "Die well, brother," it is thrown away, like, yeah. And I thought beautifully so. I'm obsessed with Pedro Pascal.
He's great.
So good.
He's great.
All right, sir, your name and your best accent and your question.
My name is Alex. And in the beginning of the movie, they talk about how this is one of the legends.
I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you think the other legends were like?
I mean, my God.
Oh, my God. What a great way to do sequels to this movie. The same characters as different legends.
I mean, yeah. White Walkers?
I mean, that is a really crazy idea that the Tau Tais are simply one of the legends.
Yeah. One of the many legends is space dogs. Well, you know why they built the wall, right? Why? Well, legend has it, space dogs. You've, of course,
insane.
Heard of the Tau Tai, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, here's the thing that I do think we're all going to find soon enough when we get the Tau Tai sexual positions t-shirts. We're going to really see how you make a Tau Tai.
So the Tau Tai reproduce just by their queen is just asexually producing
eggs,
them. Laying eggs. Okay, so
or
there's
maybe giving birth. I don't know. I don't know if she has to have sex in order to
I don't think so.
Are they mammals?
From the PowerPoint presentation, it seemed that as long as she's fed, she can produce more Tau Tai.
She's just crapping them out?
I think so.
That's right. That's what they do. They go back to the Green Mountain, and she farts out a couple thousand more Tau Tais. Next thing you know, they're scampering on down. 60 years later, they're scampering on down.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We really had some fun in the audience tonight. I don't think anything got definitively answered. But we went out there anyway. It's been great to talk about this movie, and we certainly have an opinion about it, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions. Here you go.
It shook my nerves and it rattled my brains. This fucking movie's driving me insane. Oh, baby, this shit's crazy. Goodness gracious, Great Wall got 5 stars.
Randy.
Give it up for Randy. It is now time for Second Opinions.
When Matt Damon arrived with that accent, as varied as the flags he used to serve, he saw the need of magnets early on. Choice so great, got a raid on Amazon. It's time for second opinions. Compelled to defend this awesome plot. And if they just believe in Matt's skill with a bow, it all makes sense. Said maybe Willem Dafoe. He's a white savior on his best behavior to become a hero and choose his friend Pedro.
Fiona! Holy cow, that was amazing. This movie has 894 reviews, and 38% of them are 5 stars. They're all culled from Amazon, and I'll start off with this one. From Konji Jin. Actually, a good movie. I was skeptical when my hubby and kids wanted me to see it. What I liked about it was that there was no kissy face sex scenes or much profanity. The movie spoke for itself as movies should. Go see it. 5 stars.
I mean, I actually did like they didn't go for a romance between Matt Damon and General Lee.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of walking that line, or I thought we were headed there at some point, but I think they made the right choice there.
They respected themselves as warriors.
Yes.
And I guess it makes sense that that's why he did go with Pedro. He wasn't in love with her to stay there.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I think they fucked.
What?
After that big battle sequence, when all the space, you know, because they have to also clean those space dogs out of
the
pagoda area.
Think, like, oh, they've got so many space dog corpses to get rid of.
Ugh. Push it out into the sea. Yeah, where do you get rid of all those? Just burn them? Just burn those space dog corpses?
I mean, probably eat them.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, like Rancho Roasters.
Sequel.
Everybody's roasting that Tao Tai.
Just like a big barbecue movie, it kind of becomes like a funny, like...
It's like Matrix 2 with the rave, it's just a barbecue.
Zidlaw McGlecky writes, I promised myself never to watch Matt Damon movies because I can't stand his leftist politicking. But then I watched this one, and I loved it. It is a really very good movie. It combines great Chinese movie tricks that we know from many other movies of theirs with a riveting story and a horde of toothy alien creatures only a mother could love. Matt Damon is, disappointingly for me, good. He slashes the monsters very professionally, which is his job. Now, other than fighting and slashing, there is not much else in the film to recommend. But hey, this is more than enough for an hour and a half of great entertainment. 5 stars.
Wow. What a ride that was.
Yeah. This is from Grady Padgett, and the title is Not Your Average Monsters at War Movie, ... Not at all. I'm going to just jump in midstream. This movie, I will add this movie to my collection. This will be a great flick to have my friends over for a night showing in the barn. We put up a big white sheet on the wall, we use the Sony projector, and pass around the popcorn. The kids will
scream. Which kind of projector?
The Sony projector.
Okay.
Did they buy that on Amazon?
Maybe. The kids will scream and love every minute of it. Matt makes a great hero.
Matt?
Yep.
Awfully familiar.
Yeah, I know, very. I also love that the kids will scream every minute of the film. I would actually like to watch the movie that way. Matt makes
or
a great...
Just long screams until they pass out.
Matt
just
makes...
a bunch of unconscious kids on the floor of a barn somewhere, covered in popcorn. You get it.
Matt makes a great hero, proving that tigers can change their stripes. Thank you all for a job well done. And please... There's just a peak of a chance for a sequel where Matt might come back for his, only to find her the nation deeply embroiled in another race against time, fighting a new, implacable foe that he must contend with. Oh, yeah! 5 stars.
Wow.
People are really, like, going in on these.
Really,
this is
truly.
Like, they are invested.
I mean, can you imagine watching this movie on a white sheet?
In a white sheet? I think it's on a white sheet.
I said on a white sheet.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was a KKK rally where they were screaming the Great Wall.
Is that a Tao Tai?
There's a Tao Tai. Guys, no, I don't want to freak anybody out. There's a Tao Tai.
Do not bring your Tao Tais to the theater. You got to shut off your cell phones and keep your Tao Tais in the parking lot. This last one is from Kitty. It was written in July.
Kitty Dukakis?
Kitty Dukakis. Well, when I read it, it might very well be from Kitty Dukakis.
Oh, no.
This is written in 2017.
When my husband Michael ran for president.
You'll see why in a second. A mistake to watch, but I was incredibly drunk, so I thought I was watching Jason Bourne fight mutated cockroaches. Very exciting. 5 stars. Now, when I read that, I said drunk, because I thought, and you needed to hear it that way, but the way it's written is, I was incredibly drink. I was incredibly drink. And the title is Mistake to Watch, but I was incredibly drink, dot, dot, dot. And those are some of the reviews of The Great Wall. Now, The Great Wall came out in 2017. Its budget, was $150 million.
Wow.
And its opening weekend, it made $18 million.
Domestic.
Yes.
That's here. Yeah.
But worldwide?
$350 million.
$334 million. That's $289 million foreign.
Yep.
So this movie is a huge hit. It came in 59th in the United States out of all the movies made in 2017. Star Wars, Last Jedi, Beauty and the Beast, and Wonder Woman were the top three. This movie was beaten by Fate of the Furious. This movie beat The Return of Xander Cage, Valerian, Geostorm, The Disaster Artist, and The Snowman. What can you do, people?
You guys got to be quicker on that.
So, interesting. It is. It's a hit. And one little fun fact is that Andy Lau, who is the strategist, the guy who shows the PowerPoint, and Matt Damon both played the same role of an undercover gang member working on the police force in Infernal Affairs
and The Departed.
Yeah, so they shared a role. Jason June, would you recommend people watch this movie?
It would be hard to do that.
I would say yes, but if you're going to watch the, if you're going to do the podcast,
well,
I would say watch it, but fast forward through sections until it looks like something, some big spectacle is happening, then watch that.
All right. I like that.
I would watch the set pieces.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of pieces of this movie that I enjoyed. But it's hard. It doesn't amount to anything, of course. But there was a lot that I did enjoy.
It's a very simple plot. And I think if you don't know they're space dogs, that to me is the moment where, like, I haven't felt a shock like that.
Oh, I was stunned.
I mean, it really was like it really got me.
I don't think I'd seen the poster or anything. Are there Tao Ties on the poster?
No. There is a Tao Tie poster. It's just an eye. It looks very much like How to Train Your Dragon, a movie that Jason loves.
Love it. I love all three of them.
What I will say
Toothless?
Is...
Come on.
Maybe what you should do is bring this movie over to a friend's house. Like, oh, it's a beautiful historical picture. And you set
That's
it up, and then
idea.
You can get to watch their natural reaction to the Tao Ties. That's the best way to kind of watch it.
That's a great proposal. Do the Great Wall prank on your friends.
Yeah. We want to start like our own Jimmy Kimmel-style video pranks. Tape your friends watching it to see what they react to when they see a Tao Tie.
And then throw a dead Tao Tie at them.
I think this is a good... like you're cleaning your house, your apartment, vacuuming movie. It's on in the background. You see a flaming marble. You're like, oh, cool. You see a balloon. Like, you don't have to get into it as much as we did. It's interesting on some level.
Don't meet us here.
Don't live our lives.
Yeah, it's not.
These are
great
desperate
over here.
Times.
Now, did anyone get the inside joke in the movie?
Come again?
Yep. This guy got it. All right. So when Matt Damon was asked if he'd been left behind before, he replied yes twice before, and it didn't end well for them. This is an homage to Interstellar and the Martian. In both, he was left behind on other planets when an expedition went wrong. But I would say born too, right? I mean, well, I guess he wasn't left behind, but he was left for dead. Saving Private Ryan. So he's been left, maybe this is a fake back.
People, really an inside
people
joke.
Abandon Matt Damon. That is the lesson here. People are like, gotta get away from this guy.
Oh my goodness. Boston, you have been an amazing crowd.
You did it, Boston. You fucking did it.
Thank you so much for coming. Happy birthday, Matthew.